But anyway, we'll be in Ephesians chapter 6 as we continue to look at the armor that God has given to every believer. We call it our spiritual armor because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but spiritual. The battle that we fight is not carnal but spiritual. And so God has equipped each of us with some armor for our protection that we can be victorious. And that's the key word to the spiritual armor is victory. God, as he tells us in Romans chapter 8, has made us more than conquerors through him that loved us. And so this is a part of that plan of God to make us more than conquerors. All right, we are in verse number 16 this evening. Verse number 16, the fourth part of this armor that God has given to us. Verse number 16 of Ephesians chapter 6. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Father, we thank you for this passage of Scripture. Lord, just help us this evening to glean at least a little of what you have in this verse and all of that which you have for us tonight. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Here we have before us the shield of faith, and as he begins this verse, he says, above all. And the idea here is in the words above all aren't most importantly, nor is it primarily the shield of faith. But the idea of above all is just the place of the shield, the place of the shield. And the idea is that it was to be on top of all the other equipment God gives us. And that's important, and as we'll move on along in a little bit, to understand that the shield of faith was to go above or in front of all of the other armor that God has given us. Now, when we think of a shield, we think of a little round thing or maybe a little square thing like we used to make when we were kids and played war. Maybe you ladies didn't do this when you were little girls, but just about every one of us boys did. We'd take a piece of cardboard or anything we could find and make ourselves a shield. And we would have wars and find a stick or something that would serve as a sword. But we think of this little shield that we would hold on our arms like this in front to block our opponent's blows. But this is a different type of a shield than that. This is a large shield. It stood about 4 feet tall. Tell us how tall are you? That's what I was going to say. Why don't you stand up and stand in the middle, please? This is how tall that... Why don't you come up here? I think it'll be better. This is how tall that shield was. Okay, can you imagine? Okay, this is going to be fun. How am I going to block a blow? Something like that around. But that's the size of the shield. It was that tall, and it would be about 2.5 feet wide. That's a pretty big piece of equipment. And the point is, of this shield, is that the soldier, when being attacked, could literally duck down, hold the shield up, and get protection from whatever the enemy was bringing at him. And so the idea in the word above all is in front of or on top of. Or let's move along. That is the place of the shield. He says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Let's move from the place of the shield to the power of the shield. Now, let's not move too quickly through this verse, because God has a lot for us here. The third word of the verse, after above all, the first word after those two words, taking. Think about that for a minute, because that implies an action on our part that we either choose to make or that we choose not to make. Now, we're talking about the shield of faith, and we all know where we're going on this. We're going to the idea of faith and the Christian living by faith and applying faith in our lives and using it in our Christian warfare to help us win the victory. But God tells us right here, and he's almost warning us in that one word, taking, that is something we have to choose to do. And it's very obvious because he gives us other parts like the breastplate that we've looked at in a little while in the study. We'll look at that helmet of salvation that he's given us other parts to protect our bodies more closely. That tells us that we don't always choose to take the shield of faith. Or there are times when we reach for the shield of faith and our faith isn't quite strong enough to where that shield does not prevent the fiery darts of the wicked to get close to us. And hopefully we have that breastplate of righteousness or the helmet of salvation so that that dart will fall without causing any damage. But this is something that we need to choose to do. Shield of faith. Look, if you would, in Romans. Let's talk about faith for just a little while. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, verse number 20. What is the importance of faith in the Christian warfare? We understand that faith is just simply believing God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's just simply knowing that, thus saith the Lord, therefore it is. In Romans chapter 4, verse number 20, let's begin reading there. We'll read a couple of verses here. Talking about Abraham, it says that he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded. Now there's faith. Fully persuaded. No question in his mind. No doubt in his heart that because God said it, thus it is. And I think there's another good definition for faith here in Romans chapter 4, verse 21. Talking about Abraham, that he was fully persuaded. Now he had nothing else to persuade him other than simply the Word of God. And he chose to believe God, and he was persuaded by the very words of God, not because of anything else, but just simply God said it, and he was convinced. God said it, and he was persuaded, and not just most of the way or part of the way, but fully persuaded. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And you might think at that moment, or this moment, if we don't know what this passage is talking about, we might think, well, Abraham had some simple little thing that God promised, and sure, it's easy to believe that. But give me something more difficult, like the circumstances in our lives, and think that now if Abraham was placed here, he would never believe God for that. But remember the circumstances about his full persuasion. He was 90 years old. Sarah was 89. And God said, guess what? You're going to have a baby. Think about that for a minute. He was fully persuaded that God promised, and therefore it was going to happen. And therefore he took action on that promise, and shortly after they had their son Isaac. And so, being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to perform, because he's God, he's omnipotent. He spoke the world into existence. He keeps those same worlds in existence today. And by him all things consist, it tells us in Colossians chapter 1. In other words, he is holding everything together. This is the same God that made those promises to Abraham, who makes the same promises to you and to me, that God tells us to hold up the shield of faith, to simply be fully persuaded in the things that God has promised to you, because he's able also to perform. Now, we need to have faith in the pronouncement of God when he declares our sins are forgiven. When you get into a battle, a spiritual battle, this is one of the first blows that the devil's going to try to inflict upon you. He's going to shoot that fiery dart of the guilt over sins committed. Now, Jesus died on the cross. We celebrated the Lord's table this morning, reminding us of Jesus' death, his burial, and his resurrection, and his soon return. And then a part of that, we drink the grape juice, representing that blood. We do that because we understand and remember that the blood of Christ is sufficient. It will provide forgiveness for all sin. And so, when God makes that pronouncement that your sins are forgiven, be fully persuaded. Don't dwell in the past and grovel over those situations. Don't worry about it, other than to the extent that this is something that I need to control or conquer in my life. Those temptations. We see those temptations are the fiery darts. In this case, it's that of doubt. And we've got to claim God's promise, believing by faith the pronouncement of God that our sins are forgiven and that our soul is redeemed. The devil would like to convince a Christian that they are not a Christian after all, that they are not redeemed, that they're just a part of the world and they're going to wind up in hell, and cause them to doubt their salvation. If a person doesn't have a grasp on eternal security, they will never serve God with confidence and boldness and find the will of God for their life. And so the devil is going to attack in that area, in our eternal security, and try to cause us to doubt those things so that we don't serve God, so that we don't impact lives for Christ. But God has pronounced it. We need to be fully persuaded because He is able to perform that which He pronounced. We need to believe the pronouncement that we're adopted into His family. We saw that earlier in the book of Ephesians, that He adopted us as one of His own. He could have just simply redeemed us. He could have just simply forgiven us of our sins. But taking it to a whole other level is the fact that He adopted us. It shows His love. It shows His concern. He declares Himself our Father and all the responsibilities that go with being a father over children and providing for them and seeing that they're happy. God takes that upon Himself, and He makes that pronouncement to you and to me that you are my child, you are my son, you are my daughter, and I love you as a father. But the devil will come along and say, you know what? He doesn't care about you. You know what? He doesn't care about your needs, and He's not about to fulfill them. He's busy with other people that are more important to Him than you. And that's what the devil's going to do. He's going to shoot those fiery darts in order to cause you to doubt your place in God's plan. Now think about this for a minute. Sometimes we just need to shrink ourselves. Because we look around and, you know, when Dallas was up here, I was feeling pretty big. I can pick him up. I wasn't sure if I could. I'm glad I could. That would have been really embarrassing if I tried that and it didn't work. But nevertheless, yeah, talk about a human shield. We take that literally around here. But if we compare ourselves with the things around us, we can seem like we're pretty big. Think about the little speck we are in this planet. We need to shrink ourselves. Think about the little speck this planet is in our solar system. And think about the little speck that this solar system is in our universe. And then think about the little speck that that universe is in comparison to God. And so we've got a speck on a speck on a speck on a speck to God. Think how small we are. And yet here's God in heaven, the creator of all things, greater than all things, looking down at that little speck on a speck on a speck on a speck and saying, I love you. And I'm interested in every aspect of your life. And I choose to take responsibility for every circumstance that you face. You see, that's God. That's His pronouncement. And the devil is going to attack that with everything he's got, and he's going to shoot those fiery doubts to cause us to doubt that we have any significance in the eyes of God. And it's completely against the teaching of God's Word because He has adopted us into His family. And so we need to hold up that shield of faith in the pronouncement of God that we have been adopted in order that that fiery dart hits that shield and falls harmlessly at our feet. So we need to have faith in the pronouncement of God. We also need to have faith in the promises of God, in the promises of God. The fact that He has promised us victory over sin. It's not the normal Christian life to continue to sin and fall for the same temptation throughout our lifetime. God's plan, and if you read 1 John chapter 3, it can seem somewhat confusing because it talks about God's people not sinning anymore. And the idea there is that a sin that so easily besets us, that it continues in our life. What God is trying to tell us is that there's going to come a point where we're going to find out how to conquer that thing, aided by the Holy Spirit of God, by the grace of God, that will happen. Now, if you've been saved for any period of time, you shouldn't fall to the same sins or as many sins as you used to. There needs to come that growing process because God has promised us victory over sin. But the devil knows what our weakest points are, and he'll shoot those particular darts at us. And unless we can get that shield of faith up, that God has promised me victory over this, that arrow's going to come through. That arrow's going to stick. And it's a fiery dart. It's going to burn. We're going to talk more about that, Lord willing, here in just a little bit. But God has made this promise. The devil wants us to forget it so that he can have his way with us. We need to have faith in the fact that God promised to answer prayer. And so he promised us to ask, and we shall receive, and all the other things there in Matthew chapter 7 that he promised. He promises us that he hears our prayer, and he's interested, and he wants to do what needs to be done. He's promised to answer every prayer you ever made. Now, the devil wants you to think that your prayers just hit the ceiling and bounce down. He doesn't want you to think that God in heaven hears what you have to say and that God's not interested. But we need to hold up that shield of faith that God has promised me, therefore it is so. We need to believe the promises that God has made on blessings for faithful living and chastisement for unfaithful living. God has promised these things in such simple verses as the fact that we will reap what we sow. If we sow righteousness, we'll reap unto ourselves reward. If we sow sin, we'll reap unto ourselves chastisement. That's the promise of God. The devil wants us to forget that. He wants us to think that we can sin without suffering chastisement. He wants us to believe that service for God will go unnoticed and unrewarded. And then when people don't pat us on the back or recognize us for Christian service, we say, well, I guess the devil was right. Now, we don't say it that way. The way we say it is, I guess nobody appreciates me. And so we think that we're not going to receive a reward from God because the devil's dart has penetrated our shield of faith. Not because our shield of faith was faulty, but because we failed to use the shield of faith that God has equipped us with. We chose not to take it. Instead, we chose to feel sorry for ourselves because the devil's dart stuck. But these are promises of God who is able. Christ made so many promises. Think about this one. His imminent return and the rewards that will follow at the judgment seat of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. Boy, what a wonderful verse that is. And I don't want to say too much about it. I think I shared this at the men's breakfast last month. And basically working on this into a sermon, so I'll probably just read it and not say a whole lot, but it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, all that follows the resurrection chapter, and all of that follows the promise of God of the rapture of the church. God says, I'm coming back at any moment in the twinkling of an eye. So because of that in mind, you need to be busy working for me because everything you do for me will be rewarded. The imminent return of Christ and our eternal rewards. These are promises that God made to us. And we need to remember that He is able. So we must be fully persuaded. Look, if you would, in Hebrews chapter 11. This is a verse you're probably very familiar with. Hebrews chapter 11. We're talking about the shield of faith, this piece of our equipment that God has given to us, but we have to choose to use it. And it's so powerful. The devil doesn't know what to do against faith except turn tail and run, because he cannot penetrate faith. The shield was that large shield that we could hide behind. And no dart can penetrate. The verse tells us that in Ephesians 6. We'll look at that in just a moment. But in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6, it tells us, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we need to have faith in the provision of God. In the provision of God. God provides for us in every way as our Father, but how does he provide specifically? Well, he provides physical health. We may think, well, our physical health isn't what it ought to be. I've got all kinds of problems. Well, maybe you've got a situation where God wants you to serve him in different areas that he can only get you to through physical maladies. I'll just go ahead and tell you, I'm debating my mind as I'm talking whether I should tell you this or not, but Josh Thompson spent a little bit of time in the hospital. Went home earlier today, this afternoon. But while he was there, you know, he asked the doctor just point blank directly, do you pray? And that doctor told Tawny that she's not praying three times a day. But until Josh was there to influence her, she hadn't prayed in 10 years. Now, is that why Josh wound up in the hospital to affect that doctor? We don't know. Only eternity will tell. But the fact is, Josh did affect that doctor and had a minister in her life. And so, our health may not be what we think it is, but if we're trusting God, desiring to do his will, our health is exactly what God wants us to do, so that he can use us for his glory. And when we come to that realization that we are here to glorify God in heaven, and we're here to be his servant, and we're fully yielded to that, then that means we yield our health to him. If he gives us great health, praise God for that. If he gives us poor health, praise God for that too, because God will use that as a ministry and bring glory to him. And so, we just simply need to trust God. Holding up that shield of faith when the devil shoots his fiery darts of complaint against our health situation and against the circumstances we're facing physically. Because the devil would like to make you think, because of where you are physically, that you can't serve God. But the point is, and I say this many times, that if you're breathing God's air, God has something for you to do. And even if all you can do anymore physically is pray, that is the most important thing you can do. And we need it more than you can imagine, with you upholding our ministry and prayer here at Calvary Baptist Church and other pastors as well. And so don't let the devil discourage you from serving God how you can. He knows how limited you are, but he also knows what you can do, and he expects you to do that. God provides for us physically, he provides for us financially, he provides for us spiritually. All that we need, God provides. But the devil likes to make us think that God is holding out. Now, that was part of the temptation back in the Garden of Eden. The first temptation was to cause Eve to doubt the Word of God. But then he began to say, God is holding out on you. If you'll just eat of that one tree he told you you couldn't eat, then you would have greater knowledge, the knowledge of good and evil. God doesn't want you to be like him. He didn't want you to be a God. But if you eat that, you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. He's accusing God of holding out. That's a fiery dart. He still shoots it today effectively. So many Christians think they're missing out on the fun that picture from drinking booze. You know, the devil never shows a drunkard in the street, sleeping in the street, because they lost their job and their family and all their self-dignity. He doesn't show the person whose face is cut off because of cancer from chewing tobacco. He just makes that tobacco look like a cool thing to do. And we go on and on with the different sins in life, that the devil glorifies but never shows a negative effect. And he entices even Christians to participate in these things by saying, God is holy, not us. Look at how much fun the world is having. Doesn't show the end of the road of participating in that sin. Look, if you would, in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. We're still talking about the shield of faith. That if we'll just simply be fully persuaded, as Abraham was, because God is able, then the darts of the devil will fall harmlessly at our feet. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 4. The Bible tells us, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." And so we have given to us here victory over, we have faith in the providence of God. And so He supplies us the victory of knowing His perfect will for our lives. And receiving His divine guidance in every situation. The world can't do anything to us. The devil can't cause the world to do anything to us. We just have to hold up that shield of faith. We have to choose to take it and choose to wield it. And if we'll just simply have faith in God, in His pronouncement, in His promise, in His provision, in His protection, and in His providence, then we'll enjoy this victory that God talks about in 1 John chapter 5, verse number 4. And so we see the power of faith. The power of faith is able to quench. Notice what it says back in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 16. Taking the shield of faith wherewith you shall be able to quench. What's that next word?
All.
Every fiery dart that the devil fires at you. Every last one. That's the power of faith. The power of faith. So we see that faith can do great things. Now these darts, fiery darts, fiery refers to poisonous. It's the same word used back in the Old Testament about the fiery serpent. When God sent them, because Israel was complaining and murmuring about the food God supplied. And you remember Moses had to put up that brazen serpent on a pole. And if they had faith in God, they would look and live. Fiery serpents, because they were poisonous and people were dying. And so the darts that Satan shoots at us, the temptations, are fiery, they're poisonous. Now poison doesn't kill immediately. Oftentimes, it's a slow, agonizing process. And when we give in to those temptations and allow that fiery dart to stick and have its way, that death or that sickness will be oftentimes very slow and very agonizing in such a way that we don't always recognize that we're sick and that we're infected. And we think we're okay, but our spiritual strength is being sapped away from us, but it's so slowly that we don't really recognize that it's taking place. So God describes these darts as fiery because of the poisonous effect. So that we'll be alerted to these things and that we will now recognize immediately when they stick and the damage that they're doing. Now, also in the idea that they're darts, or arrows, we would call them, speaks of their swiftness and their suddenness and their unexpectedness. The fact that the devil shoots at us at times that we don't expect him to. He leaves us alone when we're on guard, but he never announces that an attack is taking place. Another illustration from this fiery dart of describing the temptations that the devil shoots at us is in warfare. At that time, when they shot the dart, they would have all the archers line up, and they would all shoot, and you'd have this whole rain of arrows coming. And that's why they would have such a big shield in order to hide behind, because it wasn't normally just one dart that they had to avoid. If it was just one dart, they could have done it with that smaller shield that we all picture in our minds. But because there were multiple arrows all coming at the same time, they needed a large piece of protection that this shield would then provide. That it would be over all. And so, we need to understand that when the devil shoots his darts, he doesn't just tempt you in one area. That one dart will weaken you just a little bit spiritually, and it'll immediately shoot another, and it'll shoot another, and shoot another, trying to break you down to cause you to sin. That's what God is warning us here when he talks about the fiery darts. But remember, that shield of faith will quench each and every one that the devil fires at us. So God has provided for us the shield of faith. How has your shield been holding up lately? Does it need to increase? Now, it's possible to increase your faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How much time do you spend in God's Word? If your faith is struggling, read the Word of God and plunge into it and stay in it until your faith increases. Now, God has promised us that. And so, if your faith is short, read the Word of God regularly and long each time. Because God wants you to be the victor. And thus He gave us the shield of faith. It should be sufficient in itself, but in that it's not, we all know that our faith sometimes fails. So let's pray this evening that our faith will be strong in an Almighty God who loves us and can do all things. Father, we thank You for Your Word and showing to us the importance of faith in our Christian lives. We know that our Christian life begins by faith in the shed blood of Christ. But Father, our faith needs to continually increase that we might use this shield of faith You've given to us to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. All for the glory of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.